Let's now turn in our Bibles for our text, turning to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We'll also be looking in the back of our songbooks at Lord's Day 45 in just a moment. But first, let's read from Luke chapter 18. And in Luke 18, it starts with the parable of the persistent widow, which teaches about the need for persistence in prayer. But we're going to start a reading at verse 9, where Jesus compares and contrasts the prayer of these two individuals, the Pharisee and the tax collector. So Luke 18, let's start a reading then at verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." And that's as far as reading in Luke 18. Then let's turn in the back of our songbooks to read together from Lord's Day 45. Lord's Day 45. And that's found on page 893. 893, Lord's Day of 45. Let's respond with the answers together. First of all, 116. And the question is, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. 117, how does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God, who has revealed Himself to us in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask of Him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. And then finally, question and answer 118, what has God commanded us to ask of Him? Everything we need spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. Question 119 then goes on to repeat or list for us the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to be reading that. We're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer in its various petitions in the next weeks as we go forward. So that's as far as reading in the Catechism, and we pray for God's blessing upon the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, prayer is such a normal and consistent part of our lives that we sometimes get through the act of praying without actually thinking about what prayer is and the purpose of prayer. For example, most of us have been raised in houses where we pray at the beginning of a meal and at the end of a meal. Even here in the worship service, we started together with prayer. We pray so often that we sometimes forget the seriousness of it and the blessing that prayer is. But prayer is not a light thing. Prayer is a very expensive gift. The right of access, the fact that we as fallen sinners can come boldly into the presence of the Almighty God, bringing our prayers and our petitions before His throne. This is an exquisite and expensive gift. Because the right of access has been granted, has been gained for us by Jesus Christ. As Christ offered Himself up once for all by His one sacrifice, it was secured that our prayers would not only be heard, but they would also be answered. That God would hear us is a wonder, but the fact that He would answer our prayers, a wonderful mystery and great blessing. As a congregation, we've just finished our series through the Ten Commandments, and if we're keeping track where we are in the Catechism, we're in the third section of the Catechism, the section of thanksgiving or gratitude. We looked at the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments are the way in which we show our gratitude. Right? The reason we commit ourselves, we dedicate ourselves to obeying these commandments, is so that we are showing a life of thanksgiving by obeying these words. This week, we are going to start our consideration of the Lord's Prayer. If the Ten Commandments are the way in which we show our gratitude, prayer is the way in which we profess, we declare, we proclaim our gratitude. We're going to start by considering prayer in general this week, and a few weeks from now, we'll continue our series looking at the various petitions. So what is prayer? Where does prayer come from, and how should it function in our lives? We're going to consider this theme. Jesus Christ not only secures prayer for us, but teaches us how to pray. Jesus is teaching us how we are to pray. In our first point, then, we begin by defining prayer. If someone were to ask you, what is prayer? How would you define it? What is prayer at its core? Although the Bible doesn't specifically give us a definition of prayer, we do find very clear examples of prayer and how it functions. Not only functioning in the lives of God's people, but functioning even in the life of Jesus Christ. And chief among the prayers of Jesus Christ would be the high priestly prayer, that's in John 17, and the Lord's Prayer, as it is included in Matthew chapter 6. Prayer is, at its core, a conversation with God. It is communion, where someone is to talk to God. Within even the context of the worship service, we acknowledge a dialogical aspect of the worship service. God speaks to us in His Word, and we respond with prayer. With prayer, which is also its singing as well. The Westminster Confession defines prayer in this way. Prayer is the offering up of desires to God in the name of Christ by the help of the Holy Spirit. Prayer has also been defined as asking God for what He has promised. So it is very clear that in prayer there is an aspect of asking. We ask God for something when it comes to prayer. But did you notice that when we began our consideration of the Catechism does not start by saying prayer is asking something from God, but prayer is first and foremost saying something to God. The Catechism does not start with what we are to ask of God in prayer. That's in question and answer 118. We are to ask God for everything that we need. But 116, two question and answers earlier, we find that prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. Prayer is saying something to God. It is telling God that we are thankful, that we are grateful. Now, this is a very important reminder. As I said before, prayer is the way in which we verbally and specifically thank God for the blessings we've received from His hand. Why is that so important? It's because if your prayer is anything like my prayer, we start our prayers by asking God for what we want and what we need, and we end our prayers by asking God for what we want or what we need. What about thanksgiving? Thanksgiving, acknowledging giving thanks. That God is the fountain source of every good and perfect gift. Let's read a few verses from Psalm 50 just to illustrate what this looks like. Psalm 50, if you'd like to read along, we're going to read two verses from Psalm 50. Psalm 50, starting at verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. So Psalm 50, verse 14 is very instructive. First, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Offer to God your prayers of thanksgiving, if I could put it that way. Giving thanks to God for the blessings we have received from His hand. And then, in the next verse, call upon me in the day of trouble. So yes, thanksgiving, but also call, also ask. We read this earlier in Matthew 7, where Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Prayer is not only thanking God for the blessings that He has given to you. Prayer is also asking from God what you need. Question answer 118. We are to ask God for everything that we need for our body and our souls. Like a poor invalid crying out for alms on the side of the road, without God hearing and answering our prayers, we would have and could do nothing. Paul puts it this way in 1 Timothy 2, "I urge that supplication, prayer, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people." So these two key aspects of prayer rise to the surface. Prayer is thanking God for what He has given to you, and prayer is asking from God what you need. True Christian prayer is also uniquely Trinitarian. Jesus taught His disciples to pray to our Father. Prayer is available, is acceptable, because we offer it to the Father in the name of the Son. Jesus Christ has secured the right of access that we have as access children to bring our prayers and petitions, a blood-bought access to the throne of God. Jesus even interceding for us at the Father's right hand and pouring out His Spirit upon us, who even intercedes within us. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption by which we can cry out and pray, "Abba, Father." So a Christian prayer is uniquely Trinitarian, praying to the Father in the name of the Son and in the strength of the Spirit. Well, now that we have looked at basically what is prayer, in our second point, we're going to see the necessity of prayer. We could say in the first point, we saw that we need to pray because we are so needy and we're so dependent. We'll also pray because we are so thankful and grateful. Now, that is true, but there is one more pressing reason given to us of why we will pray. Why is it necessary for Christians to pray? And the simple reason given to us that prayer is necessary, is incumbent upon us, is because God requires it. Why must you pray? Because God says to you, you must pray. Prayer is a commandment that God puts upon us. Call upon me, as we read in Psalm 50, or as Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, or the persistent widow, keep asking. The prayer of the righteous man is indeed powerful. And prayer is the way in which we make it evident that we are hearing and we are responding to the commandments of God. For a Christian, prayer is to be a constant and consistent part of our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now, children, praying without ceasing does not mean that you spend the entire day with your eyes closed and your hands folded. But praying without ceasing means that you are living your life with the consistent acknowledgement of living your life in the presence of God. It's you're seeing your life lived before the face of God. Each day asking God for what you need, and when God answers your prayer, thanking God for that blessing. This pleases God, as he would have his children call upon him. So the first reason that we need to pray is because God says, as my people, you must pray. Call upon me. But there is a second reason why we need to pray, and that is because God promises to give good gifts to those who pray. So the first reason why prayer is necessary is because it is a command of God. The second reason why prayer is necessary is because God's promise. Matthew 7, verse 11, your Father will give good gifts to those who ask. Our catechism puts it this way in question and answer 116. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of thankfulness God requires of us, commandment, and because God gives his grace and spirit to those who ask and thank him for that very same grace and spirit. The promise of God. So the promise of God, where he says, I will give my grace, I will give my blessings, I will give my spirit to those who constantly and consistently pray and ask. He will surely do it. If we have earthly fallen human fathers who give us good gifts, how much more our perfect heavenly Father, whose arm is not short, who has no limitation, will he not also give good gifts to those who ask? As Psalm 34, verse 15 puts it, God's ear is towards the cry of the righteous. So when asked, why should we pray? The answer is twofold. We pray because God calls us, he commands us to pray, and because of the promise of God where he will bless us when we pray. And that brings us to our final point, which is identifying true prayer. If prayer is so important and so necessary, what are the marks of a prayer that is true? What are the parts of a true Christian prayer? Even more specifically, what does a true praying person look like? To answer this question, we are going to compare and contrast the two men in our parable in Luke 18. It's a very well-known parable, the Pharisee and the sinner, or the tax collector. First of all, we see the prayer of the Pharisee. Again, that's Luke 18. We can learn something about him and his attitude as we look at his words. The Pharisee stands off by himself, and he prays to himself about himself. The prayer of the Pharisee is a prayer of boasting pride. Now, the Pharisee starts the prayer. In the first couple words, we think we're off to a pretty good start. The Pharisee says, he starts, I thank you, God. But after those first three words, his prayer falls off the rails because he says, I thank you, God, that I. He thanks God for the fact that he, the Pharisee, is so good. I thank you, God, that I am better than other people and I am better. He lists his own works as the basis of his own, as the basis of his acceptance. His holy actions like tithing and giving. Jesus introduces this mindset in verse 9, 18 verse 9. Jesus told this parable to those who trusted in themselves and boasted about themselves, relying on their own righteousness. Someone who had pride. So the Pharisee prays with a self-reliance, a boasting in his own ability, is trusting, seeing himself as being worthy. And Jesus says this prayer is not acceptable. Heaven becomes as brass. You see, brothers and sisters, there are prayers that God does not hear and answer, that are not acceptable to God. In contrast to this Pharisee and his pride who prays about himself, Jesus tells of the tax collector. Now, the tax collector, in his humility, acknowledges his need. He stands at a distance, beating his breast, crying out for mercy. I know, O Lord, I do not deserve your blessings. He acknowledges himself as a lawbreaker, and in his humility looks to God for forgiveness and grace. Now, what is the end result? Jesus tells us the end result at the end of the parable by saying, one of these two men went home forgiven. One of them had their prayers heard and answered and was justified, went home righteous to his own house. It was not the Pharisee who lived a supposedly upright life. It was a sinner, the tax collector. Now, what makes the difference between these two men and their two prayers is this: the attitude. The person whose prayer was heard and answered was humble. Proud prayer is offensive to God. If your prayer is arising from a heart that somehow believes it is more deserving or worthy than others, that prayer is offensive to God. That's why question and answer 117 puts it like this. True prayer starts or comes from a heart that acknowledges need and misery. So the sinner prayed for what he needed, which was forgiveness, which we all need. This humble prayer, for example, you can find in Scripture. Prayers of confession. Think of Jonah in the belly of the fish, or even David, after his sin with Bathsheba in Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, pardon me, cleanse me, wash me, and make me clean. The second aspect of an acceptable prayer is that it's offered in faith. Not the words of the proud man in vain, flowery words of someone who likes to hear his own voice. It is a humble prayer of confession that asks for what is needed while depending and trusting that that prayer will be heard and answered. The prayer of the sinner is one that acknowledges there is a righteousness that is needed that is not found in oneself. To say this another way, a prayer that is acceptable to God is a prayer of faith that depends on the works of another, on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you see the reason why the Pharisee's prayer is so repugnant to God? Is the Pharisee is praying, God, you should accept me because of what I have done. You should accept me because of my own righteousness and my own works and my own goodness and my own acts. I'm so much better than everyone else. While the sinner says, Lord, there's nothing in me. I depend on you. I depend on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it is that sinner's prayer that is heard and answered. And he goes home forgiven, righteous, justified. That is what our prayers must be like. There is no room for pride because God resists the prayer of the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. As we close, the centrality of prayer in the Christian's life is clear from its necessity and from the command of our God. It's interesting that we have to be told that God has to give us a commandment to pray. So I ask you, parents, have you ever had to remind your children to say thank you? Have you, as parents, ever had to say to your kids, now, what do you say? When it comes to prayer, God is dealing with forgetful children. Our Heavenly Father is coming to us as His children saying, look at what I've given you, now what do you say? In prayer, God is telling us that you don't deserve these blessings I have given to you, so you need to say thank you. We are so needy and dependent. Yet we are filled with gratitude because of the Spirit and grace we have received. As God's people, we need to be people of prayer. Because Jesus Christ has secured this right of access and he has taught us how to pray. So as we begin this week by considering prayer, we start by thanking Jesus for teaching us and for giving us the gift of prayer. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift that we have to call upon you and to know that our prayers are heard and answered and acceptable because of Jesus Christ. May we in our prayers be humble, but also filled with faith, because a new and living way has been opened, that we are praying to Jesus, Father, who has become our Father, because we are adopted. We thank you for the privileged access that is ours, and may we show it in our lives that we are thankful, grateful Christians as we pray to you and praise you and bless you for the gift of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.